Welcome to the MadTech podcast special from ExchangeWire, a weekly deep dive into a pressing industry issue.
Hello, and welcome to this very special edition of the MadTech podcast. We're going to be talking about a bill that has not been covered so much over in the UK, but is actually really important regarding privacy and ad tech in the States. It is the California AB 566 bill that was just signed in by Gavin Newsom in California. I want to dissect the bill a little bit, so I am joined by expert Nikki Bhargava from Reed Smith Law Firm. Nikki, welcome.
Thanks, John. Thanks so much for having me. Excited to talk about AB 566.
Yeah, no, really pleased to have you on and to get your insights on this. Before we kick off into the bill, tell me a little bit about yourself and your practice.
Yeah, thanks so much. So I'm Nikki Bhargava. I'm a partner at Reed Smith and the Entertainment Media Group. I work out of Chicago, and I also lead our AI practice as well. So my practice is really focused on exactly this issue, the convergence between advertising and privacy, and how advertisers, brands, the ad tech ecosystem is going to be, you know, has been handling some of the newest privacy developments over the past few years, including this one in AB 566.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. You're in, you're in an incredibly interesting space at the moment with, you know, entertainment, media, and AI. But yeah, let's do some groundwork to start with. Can you give me a bit more detail on the bill itself, how it's come to pass, and some of the key provisions that the bill enlists at the moment?
Yes. So AB 566 was just signed by Governor Newsom. I mean, at the heart of it, basically, it requires that all consumer web browsers have a simple and frictionless built-in functionality for users to send an opt-out preference signal to websites when the user visits that site using the browser. So the signal opt-out preference signal communicates the consumer's instruction to the website owner not to sell or share the user's personal information. So that's really the big piece of 566. It's actually a very short revision to the California Consumer Privacy Act, but a really big impact. The provision also requires that browser providers make sure that they provide a publicly accessible notice with instructions on how the opt-out signal works and what the effect of the signal is. So it's important to remember that the law isn't going to go into effect until January 1st, 2027. So there is some time for both browser providers, but also businesses who are going to have to receive that signal to figure out how they're going to implement it and get compliance. So there's a little bit of runway, but not necessarily a lot. You know, what this law was really aiming to do, if you look at it from the legislator's point of view and from the regulator's point of view, was to empower consumers and make it easier for consumers to opt out of the sale and sharing of their personal information. You know, at the heart of it, consumers have certain privacy rights, but if they are not sure how to exercise them or it's difficult to exercise them, then those rights are pretty meaningless when it comes to at least how the regulators think about it. And in particular, the opt-out preference signal has been a really high priority for the California Privacy Protection Agency. The agency has been very active in connection with the opt-out preference signal. Earlier this year, they launched an entire campaign building awareness about the opt-out preference signal through materials and targeted campaigns, trying to clarify the regulations in relation to the opt-out signal. And they've also prioritized enforcement in this area. So just last month, I know we're at the end of October, but in September, California had announced a joint investigation along with Colorado and Connecticut to investigate potential noncompliance with the global privacy control, which is one type of job preference signal. So this law is really in line with what the agency has been saying all year they're focused on.
Yeah, and it's like there's a lot in what you just said there that is really interesting, and the impact it's going to have on our tech and you know the wider tech industry as well. I think one point that you made there that you know it is all right for these kind of opt-outs to exist and for kind of privacy measures to exist, but they're quite meaningless if the consumer has no idea how to use them, or if they're opaque, and if they are, you know, if they're really not understood widely. So it's really interesting this bill's come in. How do you see the impact on both the ad tech industry, the tech industry in general, and the consumer as well? How do you feel that's going to play out?
Yeah, so, you know, just to kind of level set, right now under the regulations, businesses already had an obligation to recognize opt-out preference signals. The difference that this law makes is that it automates it, right? Every browser provide this functionality built into the browser. And currently, you know, a lot of businesses offer consumers the right to opt out of sale and sharing, but it could be done on a business-by-business basis. Or you could download an extension. The NAI has provided a GPC browser extension you can add to your browser and then exercise the right that way. And then there are some browsers that already have the signal built in. So the concept of the opt-out preference signal is not new. What I think is going to change with AB 566 is the scale of the signal and the opt-out, right? Now that it's going to be automated and it's going to be required to be built into every browser, likely the volume of opt-outs of sale and sharing is going to increase significantly. That's really what the industry is thinking is going to happen. And, you know, it's probably a pretty good guess as to how it will play out. So in terms of how does it end up impacting, you know, advertisers and other entities in the ad tech system, you know, one, I think this will push compliance quite a bit because every business will be required to recognize the opt-out preference signal. And, you know, currently it's global privacy control, but maybe not everybody is using the signal that much right now. And so it's not necessarily that every business is constantly having its technology tested to see if they're really receiving the signal. But I think that there will be a big compliance push because once it's built into every browser, it's really going to have to be something that businesses that are collecting data from consumers in California have to pay attention to. It's also going to have a profound impact on the amount of data that is collected. If we kind of think about just human nature, right? And there are a lot of questions about how exactly this is going to be implemented. But if we think about human nature, if a consumer turns on their signal, they may not turn it off on a business-to-business basis. They may just go about their business and, you know, a month may go by and they haven't really paid attention to whether they want to turn it off when they go to a website or they want to turn it on. And this is a big concern within the industry as well. But that could impact the volume of data that's being collected. You know, the change in scale of opt-outs of sale and sharing, because sale and sharing is so integral to targeted advertising, behavioral advertising, it could push advertisers towards other forms of advertising that are not necessarily as reliant on that kind of information. We've already seen a push towards contextual advertising lately because of all the regulation. And so it may push them further towards contextual advertising. And it may also, you know, increase the value of first party data. So we've seen a lot of investment already because of other regulation into the collection of first-party data, which isn't necessarily impacted by browser-based signals.
Really interesting. Do you think this legislation has been hastened by Google's kind of decision not to remove third-party cookies, that they will still remain? Was that kind of a spur on for this legislation to go through? What do you think were Governor Newsom's reasons behind it?
I don't necessarily know if it's tied to the third-party cookie aspect on, you know, a private level, but I do think California has been really ready to lead the pack when it comes to allowing consumers control of their information. And so the opt-out signal has been a priority for, you know, not just this year, not just this legislation, but, you know, since it's come out. So the CPPA has already been, you know, engaging in enforcement actions and sweeps to make sure that there's compliance there. I think there's other laws that have been enacted, which again, provide consumers the right to limit the kind of information that they get, particularly for targeted advertising. So data broker laws, which have been strengthened with stronger deletion rights. And in, you know, in kind of talking about the law, even Governor Newsom highlighted the fact that what he's interested in is strengthening consumer rights. And so this is just one step. And I think they realize maybe because way in the past, we've sort of had this this concept of do not track signals. I can't even say how old it is, but it's pretty old, but it wasn't built into the technology ever. And so most of the time when you thought of do not track, most sites, most browsers didn't really respond to each other. And I think in looking at how to structure this particular law, they were interested in making sure that the technology and the requirements matched together.
Yeah. In terms of that, you know, the groundwork that was done for this and the thought behind it, where do you think there is precedent? Where are you looking for kind of looking at results? Are you looking at GDPR to see whether this is a kind of similar, the bill doing the same thing in California? What do you think, the precedent could be?
The precedent for how to implement the opt-outs or?
Yeah, because I'm just thinking, you know, if you go onto a website in Europe compared to the States, you are given immediately a banner to opt in or opt out of data collection. It's the result of GDPR. It's fundamentally changed the experience of the web for a lot of people. And what you were saying about kind of people turning it off and forgetting now and again, that's become impossible with GDPR. So I'm just wondering if there's a connection there, if it's going to turn the web experience in California into a similar state as Europe.
Well, I know one of the things that the CPPA and legislature is focused on this concept of frictionless opt-out. And so, you know, one of the things with the banners is that it, you know, it does create some friction with respect to when you get to a website and the banner comes up and you're trying to figure out how do I get rid of the banner because I wanted to see what was on the site. And so the concept of the signal is really that it's going to happen in the background. And that, again, existed prior to the passage of this law. So it's a concept that's already been in the CCPA regulations, where what regulators are looking for is, you know, again, that it's easy, it's obvious, and it's frictionless, particularly for browser-based signals. And so, you know, it should be, you get to the site, the signal communicates, and then if the signal is opt me out, it opts out immediately without things like pop-ups, without, you know, additional messages. And I think this is where the questions around implementation are really going to come up because it's brand new right now. And there's some room, AB 566 left room for the CPPA to put out regulations. And I think the industry is very much, you know, pushing for quick regulations so that there's actually time to implement it, both on the browser side, but also the business side, and really understand how it works. But, you know, there are a lot of questions about how it's going to get implemented. So, for example, right, the concept of an opt-out preference signal doesn't mean that it's just one signal. There's a concern that there may be a proliferation of different signals. You know, right now, global privacy control is the accepted signal. I hope, and I think the industry hopes, that everyone's going to coalesce around a single standard, because if there are multiple standards for the opt-out preference signal, it's something that businesses will have to adapt to. You know, a lot of businesses use consent management platforms, so they may be waiting for consent managed platforms to catch up with what those, you know, standards are. And so there's a downstream delay, which again impacts how much time you have to comply. Right. But the one good thing is in the regulations, it does state that a valid opt-out preference signal, it is a format that's commonly used and recognized by businesses. So hopefully that means that the industry will converge to, you know, a single signal. So that's the hope. You know, the other issue that comes up in terms of implementation is right now it's not clear if it's going to be a default on or if it's going to be a choice that the consumer has to turn on. Obviously, you know, the businesses will feel a certain way about default on because that, you know, that starts that train of did the consumer make a conscious decision then to opt out, or are they just downloading the browser and they're, you know, starting to use it without really getting to the point of understanding what default on means and what is the impact of, you know, not selling or sharing your information. So that's a question that is still waiting to be answered. You know, there are other questions about the fact that this is a California law and what it really regulates is collection of information from Californians. So what does that mean for the rest of the country, right? Is there going to be a configuration that's just for California, or, you know, if a browser comes out and, you know, I'm in Chicago, so if I download it and it's going to be default on out, even though I'm not sitting in California, again, that has, you know, a bigger impact than just necessarily California. So while companies, you know, browser providers outside of California may have to comply with it, businesses that, you know, fall under the scope of CCPA have to comply with it, it still only applies to California, you know, to data collected from California residents at the end of the day. So that becomes a fine line. I mean, we've seen every state start to adopt what, you know, other states are doing. So I guess that's not something I would dwell too far on, because I think if it's something that looks successful, other states will go ahead and incorporate it. And so it won't be a state-specific issue for, you know, for that long. There's still a lot of questions out there. There are a number of answers that are currently in the regulations because the opt-out preference signal is not brand new. So the regulations have a lot of details about how it's, you know, supposed to be implemented. But I think it gets more complicated, right? You know, if you have, for example, if you're part of a financial incentive, and in order to participate in that financial incentive, it requires sale and sharing of your information. So if your browser signal is sent to opt out, you know, the regulations currently say, like, there's a way to make you aware and then, you know, get your affirmation that you really want to opt out. But it just gets more complicated as those signals, again, proliferate.
Yeah, and it's a lot for the consumer and the internet user to kind of, I suppose, as you say, in that kind of particular case, there's a lot for them to consider, a lot of action needed still on the consumer side to ensure their own privacy, which is always, I find, fascinating about privacy regulations, how much onus it puts on the individual rather than the company. Do you think there's hope of avoiding this with AB 566?
Avoiding consumer confusion.
Overburdening and confusing the consumer.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the point, right? Is that from a regulatory perspective, the assumption is that users do want to keep their information more private. I also think, though, that kind of going back to that notion of consumers aren't used to exercising like a choice, you know, site by site by site, especially when it's in the background. At least the banners, it kind of pops up and you see it right away and you know you have to make a choice. With a signal, it's not going to keep popping up and telling you necessarily that this is the choice you have made, right? It may be, you know, maybe there's an indicator on the website that says that you've, you know, opted out of sale, or maybe there's an indicator in the browser. But that's something consumers are going to have to learn to look at and then learn to appreciate what that means for them, right? I think a lot of consumers don't know what it means to opt out of sale or sharing. It doesn't mean that you're not going to see ads. You're still going to see ads. It doesn't mean that no one's collecting your information. There are still entities collecting your information. It doesn't mean that there's no analytics. That's still happening. But it is, you know, potentially things that they might find value in. So for example, you're not going to get the ad that's more personalized to you. You're going to get ads that may have no relevance to you, right? Some other things that the industry highlights is, you know, something that we've seen the rise of in the last few years is the ability for like smaller businesses to target consumers that are probably more interested. So they don't have to spend a ton of money. You know, they're still spending a lot of money, but not as much because they can target specific consumers and, you know, really get a little bit more ROI out of it. So, I mean, that's debatable at the end of the day. You know, that's kind of how the industry, touts the benefits of it. So, you know, but I do think that there's some value for consumers in getting ads for things that they actually care about, as opposed to ads for things that have no relevance to them whatsoever.
Yeah, it's a better experience, and it's the value exchange that's perhaps not so well understood. But yeah, like you say, you know, if it helps tailor targeting, if it helps make stuff more relevant, you've talked already about contextual targeting, which is again something we're talking a lot over here about. Yeah, there's lots, you know, to explain to consumers, but it's a really interesting, you know, an interesting development for California. One thing before we wrap up, mobile apps weren't included in this bill. Is that correct? And why? And what might the impact of that be?
Yeah, they weren't expressly included. So this bill was actually passed by legislature last year and Governor Newsom vetoed it last year. And that bill specifically called out compliance for mobile operating systems. And the commentary there was, you know, at the time that mobile operating systems didn't really have technology in place to operationalize on the requirements. So browsers already had extensions, you know, websites already had ways of recognizing it, but the operating system didn't necessarily have that. And the view from the governor's office was that the law shouldn't be driving, you know, the technology development, right? Design questions have to come first and then, you know, followed by the law for that requirement. So I think, you know, it's something that we should keep an eye on for sure, especially again, as technology does evolve to allow a similar opt-out experience and how, you know, once that takes shape, I think that we'll see a natural progression to also include mobile apps in this type of requirement.
Yeah, sort of a kind of a test and learn situation as the bill settles in 2027. Final question for you on this, and I want to know a little bit about the risks of non-compliance here. What do you think the punishments could be? What are the legal consequences for companies that don't comply? And yeah, how does this contrast with previous privacy legislation?
Yeah, so this one's a little bit interesting because it creates a safe harbor for browser providers. So browser providers, if they have built in this functionality and websites don't recognize it, then browser providers are not the ones that are going to be held liable for that non-compliance, which is a slightly newer concept within the CCPA. But generally speaking, this amended the CCPA. So, you know, theoretically, it takes on the penalties that come with non-compliance for CCPA as well, which is, you know, which is $2,500 per occurrence, right? So it could be per time the signal should have been given and isn't, or per day that, you know, you haven't complied. And it goes up to $7,500 if it's an intentional violation. So, you know, so the penalties can be pretty significant. And we've seen California's agencies, you know, make, you know, go after companies with significant penalties as well, really depending on the type of issue. So I think, I really think the risk is more, again, on the side of the sites, the businesses that have to recognize the signal. Because, you know, again, they haven't necessarily prepared for the scale or the volume or the impact of what that's going to do when the signal, you know, becomes live on such a large scale. That's really where I would sort of issue my warning, right, to businesses to look to put in processes to really evaluate what it is that, you know, what sale and sharing is going to do to their business and follow that flow and really understand how it's going to impact it and figure out how to mitigate that, right? Different ways that they can mitigate it. And then also audit and test the actual technical implementation. That's where regulators get you every time, because they're going to go and test it. And they've said it time and time again, you should be testing it and auditing it and making sure it works. So particularly when there are larger volumes, is your, you know, implementation capable of handling that as well?
Amazing. Well, yeah, the companies have just over a year to get their compliance in order to do this testing and get themselves sorted before the bill comes in. Nikki, thank you so much for your time. That was fascinating. A really interesting topic and great to get your expertise in it. So really appreciate your time today. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks so much, John, for having me. It was fun to talk about it.
No, you're very welcome. And we'll have you back sometime next year as the countdown begins for AD 566.
That's how it's really going.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you very much. And thank you all for listening to the MadTech Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to this MadTech Podcast special. We'll be back to discuss another hot industry topic soon.